And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, that means that she had never had relations with a man. That's exactly what it means. So she knew where children came from. They were not dumb, ignorant people who knew nothing about anything, as most people like to portray them. And most now, when we get done with this and we get into modern times today, you'll understand why almost every movie concerning Jesus is just absolute Pittsville. Okay? You'll understand why when we're done. So the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, the holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And the actual Greek there is genomenu, which means that which is being conceived, that is present tense, active indicative participle, right at that present time, was being conceived at the time he was talking. Okay? Now behold your cousin. So this was a family affair. She has conceived a son in her old age and so forth. All right? Now, let's come all the way over here to chapter 2, and let's see some of the circumstances of how Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem. They got there, and they were forced to go there. Okay? Chapter 2 and verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It sounds like Willie today, doesn't it? That all the world will be taxed. Okay. Aren't you glad that Clinton cannot be a dictator? Can you imagine what he would do as a dictator? Wow. Okay, aside from that little modern-day politics involved. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. Now, what does it mean to his own city? To the city where he was born. So Joseph was born in Bethlehem. Mary was of the line of David, and also Joseph was of the line of David. But the line of David, through Mary's account, is handled here in Luke, the third chapter, where it should read the son-in-law, the son-in-law, the son-in-law. Okay? So here God worked it out, so at the very last minute, no hanging around for anyone to figure out the prophecy, see. So Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Now, once they are espoused, they are called husband and wife, until the espousal is over. Well, that is why we are also called the espoused wife of Christ as far as the church is concerned. Now notice, being great with child. So she had to ride a camel or a donkey all the way from Nazareth, all the way up to Bethlehem, which in the travel they had in those days must have been at least 5 days. Because being pregnant, she couldn't ride very long. So she would have to maybe ride a couple hours, and they'd have to stop and take a break, and maybe she'd walk a little bit and ride a little more and walk a little bit and finally get there in about 5 days. Not like today. We have Sabbath services. We can get in the car and be 110 outside, turn on the air conditioning, and whiz down the highway and go 100 miles to church and think nothing of it and not have any expenditure and work. We do less work driving a car to go 100 miles than we would to walk a half a mile. We just sit there. But this was a long trip. And so it was, verse 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a chamber, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now you see, all of these things happened to Jesus so that no person could say, Lord, you don't know. Lord, you don't know what it's like to be homeless. Lord, you don't know what it's like to be born in a barn. Lord, you don't know what it's like to be beaten up and kicked and crucified. Lord, you don't know what it's like to be shot. Well, believe me, the nails in his hands were worse than some gunshot wounds. All right? So he went through every deprivation. Now then we have the account of the shepherds. And the angel came and told them they were guarding, watching their flock at night, which could not be done in the winter. Just a little side as we're going along, we already know that. Okay, so then the announcement came. So after all of these things had happened, after the shepherds came and they found him there, and verse 19, here's an interesting verse. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Because she wasn't told all the facts as things were going along. She was told that she was going to have a son, be supernaturally conceived. She didn't know it was going to be born in Bethlehem. Bam! God knew it was, took him up there and was born. Here come in the shepherds and said, angels talked to us and said the Savior is born. So she kept all these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, it was told them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then after that, then they brought the offering and so forth and went on down to Nazareth. Let's pick it up here in verse 39. Okay? Verse 39. When they performed all these things according to the law of the Lord. Notice, not the traditions of the fathers. Distinct understanding we need to remember. So they did it according to the law of the Lord, which was what? Scripturalism. Right? Yes. They returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. And then you know the rest of the story, how that during the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover, went up on into the temple and talked with the learned people up there. Now, I'll call your attention to Matthew, the second chapter. I'll rely upon you to read it. That when the wise men came, they went to Herod and said, where's the one who's born king of the Jews? So Herod said, well, I don't know about it. I haven't had any children. What do you mean? Who's the king of the Jews? Well, we saw the star in the east, and we followed it here, and that star obviously had to be an angel. So he said, well, let's get all the priests over here and find out. So they said, where is the Messiah to be born? And they said, Bethlehem. So he said, well, you go to Bethlehem and you let us know and then come back and tell us. Well, apparently they had already left Bethlehem and they went on down to Nazareth because they followed where the star being the angel was. And then after that, all they had to do was head out north and go on back to where they came from the east country. Okay? Now let's come here to Matthew the, let me check it here. Yes, Matthew the fourth chapter. Matthew 4. We'll review just a little bit what we covered in a previous study, which we didn't get recorded, but so we'll go ahead and put it on here. Matthew 4. And let's pick it up here in verse 18. Now notice that Jesus chose all of those of the area of Galilee to be his apostles. Why? Because in that area, they were scripturalists, as we will see, in the main. That doesn't mean that there weren't those who followed traditions, but tradition there was a very low esteem and very low value. So he called fishermen, unlearned, uneducated, unschooled, non-Pharisaical, non-Sadduceical, non-Essenes. Ordinary people. Why? Because Christ had to train them in the right way rather than have to go and unlearn all like the Apostle Paul did. Now, the Apostle Paul had to be nearly beaten to a pulp to get all of that out of him. okay, and all the things that he went through to know that Phariseeism was wrong. Okay, so he called Peter and Andrew. We'll just summarize the verses as we go down. And he said to them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They followed him, found the two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, with the father Zebedee, right there on the Sea of Galilee, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus, now verse 23, notice where he began his preaching. Jesus went about all Galilee. This is the light we read of that was prophesied in Zebulun and Naphtali, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, it didn't take very long for this information to get out, did it? And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, them which were possessed with demons, them those that were lunatic, those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, which is across the Jordan River, from Jerusalem. So there came some from Jerusalem. Now, how far did they have to go to find Jesus? A long way, a 3 to 5 day journey. Okay, so he didn't go to Jerusalem right away. And from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now let's come to Luke, the 4th chapter, and see the parallel account. And let's see what happened when Jesus went into the synagogue. And we will see their reaction even to the scriptures. So this is not to say that even though those in Galilee had an earnest piety, followed the scriptures in the main, that they would necessarily agreed with Jesus. Okay? But his fame went out everywhere. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 14. Luke 4 and verse 14. And Jesus returned, that is, from his temptation of Satan the devil, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. This is following the instructions that Ezra gave on the reading of the scriptures in the synagogue. Okay? And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found in the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is why they were angry at him, because he was standing there telling them that these things were fulfilled that day in their ears. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? That is really quite a statement. Now, especially when you compare this with Isaiah 61, let's just read it into the record to make sure we have it there, where he read this scripture. And this is the reason why the Jews did not accept Jesus as their Messiah when they should have, because they expected Jesus to rise up as a military man to defeat the Romans, to save them from the Romans, and that they would make him the king according to their terms. Okay, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings, or that is the gospel, unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and that's where he stopped. And here's what the Jews expected him to continue to do, the rest of this verse. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. To execute the vengeance of God, to destroy the enemy. Well, you see, God sent them into captivity by having the Romans occupy the land and rule it because of their sins. So there would be no vengeance until they repented of their sins. Okay? Now let's come back to Luke, the fourth chapter, and let's finish it off here. And then next time we will get into Matthew, the fifth chapter, which becomes very important in scripturalism, as well as I will do between now and next Sabbath, I will do some reading of the Code of Jewish Law so that you will understand what it is. I don't want to have all of that reading in a service where you have to sit and listen to me read. So I'm going to do quite a bit of reading out of that, quite a bit of reading out of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus by Jehoiachin Jeremias, and you're going to be amazed what it says about the Pharisees there. So I'll try and have that all done by next week, and then we'll get into Matthew, the fifth chapter. Okay, verse 20, Luke 4. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your country." And he said, "Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth." Now here's why they got angry at him. Here's what really set them on end. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus and he said, "My daughter is dying, but you just give the word and I know you can heal her." And he said, "I have not found such great faith in all Israel." And this is what set them on end here at this case, too. He says, "I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Isaiah when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, but unto Zephatah, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." A Gentile. Okay, so they got all mad. "And many leopards," lepers. That is a slip of the Discovery Channel tongue here. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And of all who was healed, the hated general that conquered Israel and took him off into captivity, God healed him. Naaman had his little problem because he came to Elisha and said, you know, what are you going to do for me? He says, "We'll go bathe in the Jordan 7 times. "Ah, why should I do that? We have better rivers back up in Syria than we do at the Jordan." And so the general's servant said, "Well, look, is it any great thing he asked you to go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan? I know we have these rivers up here, but go do it." So he did it, and he was cleaned, okay? Cleansed of his leprosy. So this is a great insult. Does this not also tie in a sense, to Jerusalem, in the sense that he began his ministry in Galilee, and he's doing the same thing to Jerusalem that Elijah and Elisha did to the people of Israel, and not going to their own people in these cases, but going to the Gentiles? So you see the irony in this. Okay? "And they that were in the synagogue," because Jesus is much said, "Well, since you don't believe me, there aren't going to be any miracles done here." So they got all mad. And then he added insult by saying about the two Gentiles there. And when they heard these sayings, they were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So he just ducked out of the way, and no one knew where he was. I don't know if he blinded him like the angels did to the Sodomites when they came to get the two angels there in Lot's day or not. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught there on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And we're going to see that that's going to be so vitally important when we get into Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We have understood Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I would say about 80% in the past. But when we get done with this, I hope we understand it a little more closely, say to 95%, because I don't think there's any time we're ever going to come to a point that we say we know everything, we ought to know about everything. Only God does. So we'll go ahead and end here so we can pick it up there the next time. But at least this shows you why Galilee was chosen. This shows you the background as to the, right from the beginning, the seeds of the rejection of Pharisaism were sown, beginning with John the Baptist and all the way down through the ministry of Christ. And this is going to be important for us to understand the background as to what happened in the book of Acts. So we'll end it here and we'll continue next time.